im Internet und man kann gar nicht dem Schritt halten.
So what is the point? The point is, yes, we need laws.
Gut, wir brauchen Gesetze.
Yes, we need,
ja, wir brauchen,
yes, we need
die Strafverfolgung. Wir brauchen gerichtliche Verfahren.
Yes, we need,
wir brauchen auch, yes, we need Bewusstseinshebung und wir müssen Hilfe und Resourcen zur Verfügung stehen, damit den Frauen geholfen werden kann und den Kindern,
yes,
rauszukommen aus,
yes,
diesem Zyklus. Ja, all das braucht man, aber was fehlt ist, wie schafft man es mit diesem Drang, mit diesem Appetit sozusagen.
Right? And it won't happen through legislation.
Wissen Sie, was geschah?
That won't happen
mit der
through
Gesetzgebung,
punitive measures.
Mit entsprechenden Maßnahmen.
From shaming them.
Also,
it will only happen,
es wird
as you
nur
get to
etwas
the heart
sich ändern, wenn
why
man an das Herz der Frage warum
and so
kommt.
It, that will mean a different
das
process
heißt, ein neuer Prozess
that
ist
doesn't
nötig,
throw away all the other
der nicht die anderen Errungenschaften
those are
über
all
Bord
beautiful,
wirft. Das
and
sind alles
need
gute
to be there.
Und
so we're gonna
erforderliche
keep those
Errungenschaften.
Und
die müssen auch
that
erhalten bleiben.
No,
du musst darum kämpfen. Aber das ist nicht die Endlösung. Wir brauchen noch einen weiteren Aspekt hinzu. Und das ist die Veränderung der Herzen und der Hirne der Verbraucher.
To change, which means the mentality that says I can use a woman and it's okay.
Sich ändern.
Second part is
darf nicht mehr
to change
dass
the
man
heart,
sagt, ja, eine
the,
Frau
the
kann
appetite,
ich nutzen
the
und,
why I go.
Das ist okay. Und dieser Drang, diese Nachfrage muss
so,
gestoppt werden.
We're going to attempt to do some of that today.
Gut, das hatten wir versucht zu
and
tun
hopefully
und
we'll get there.
Hoffentlich werden wir das auch erreichen und schaffen.
Yeah, we ran like crazy, actually.
Also, man muss schon etwas
so,
verrückt sein da.
Looking at
etwas
this
zu
tree, you see that there is fruit on it.
Man diese Früchte.
Think of the fruit as the behaviors.
Pflückt,
those are the things that we see
des
that we don't like in life,
dass wir
sehen,
that we
want to change.
Nicht mögen im
and
Leben,
if we're looking at that
wollen,
fruit,
das,
we're saying, typically what we've done as a culture, we're saying, we're just going to cut the branch off, we're just going to stop this, don't do this,
absägen,
don't go there,
man
don't put computer software on that blocks money,
that's a sexual site,
don't go to the pornography shops, don't go to the strip clubs,
don't stop,
stop, stop. All that is, what is that doing? It's chopping the branch off. But no one
aber
prunes a tree
niemand,
for the sake of getting rid of fruit.
Kümmert sich um diese Früchte.
What happens when you prune
was
a tree?
Passiert, wenn man
fruit comes back even greater because the life that brought that branch about
im
goes
Gegenteil,
back into the root system,
die Äste
builds
noch
a deeper
stärker,
root system,
and then comes back with more stärker, und die Energie
so
wird sogar noch verstärkt. Unsere typische Verfahrensweise des
prune.
Problems anzugehen war es also,
and if we're really serious
zurückzuschneiden und wenn wir
about changing
ernsthaft
this,
dies
if you really
ändern wollen,
want
wenn man wirklich hier etwas erreichen will und damit Schluss machen will, muss man anders ansetzen.
There.
Und wir haben ja einige Ressourcen dafür.
In a big way.
Das müssen wir dann
so
schon im großen Maßstab angehen.
So
die Frage
kind of
ist also, warum? Das kann man runterbrechen. Ich möchte
we'll
Ihnen einige Geschichten
focused,
erzählen und wir wollen uns konzentrieren auf die Frage, dass Scham hier im Mittelpunkt steht.
Ich
möchte hier etwas ausführlich dazu etwas sagen, dass Scham das Wichtigste dabei ist als Aspekt.
All
die anderen Dinge bauen darauf auf.
Now, understanding what shame is
und
that
wenn
it's
wir
a
verstehen, was Scham ist, es ist ein grundsätzliches der Glauben, dass man einen Defekt hat als Mensch und im Kern seines Lebens, im Mittelpunkt des Lebens ist man zerbrochen und hat man einen Fehler. Ich bin nicht, mir ist nicht mehr zu helfen, es ist nicht zu sehen, wo mein Problem ist. Das klingt wie nun gut, es klingt etwas sehr
when shame happens
sonderbar,
for us,
aber wenn wir
we
Scham empfinden, glauben wir, dass wenn wir gesehen werden, dann ist das, das für uns das
so
Ende, das ist Selbstmord. Deshalb verstecken wir Dinge, wovon wir glauben, dass die unakzeptabel sind, Dinge, wovon wir glauben, dass sie abgelehnt werden, Dinge, die uns
people
von den Menschen entfernen,
das unlovable or
abstoßend
find stupid,
empfunden wird
or find
oder dumm empfunden
the idea
wird. Oder
is that
die Idee ist also, dass wir glauben, dass in unserem Innersten wir unakzeptabel sind. Deshalb
we operate in this whole thing that
operieren wir in diesem ganzen Prozess.
I'm going to do what I need to do to protect that.
Das heißt, wir wollen
I want you to notice
das,
that this
tun,
is a belief, not just a
das
feeling.
Das ist eine Überzeugung, ein,
so
ein Glaube.
Feelings are always
also Schamgefühle
a,
sind immer
feelings are always
Gefühle
a reflection of your beliefs.
Eines,
so yes,
eine
feelings are important,
der,
but they are not
the problem.
The feelings are
also,
just a reflection.
Die Gefühle sind
of,
nur eine Widerspiegelung.
So a better way of saying it
man kann
is that
auch sagen,
what you believe
woran man glaubt,
is what you do.
Ist das, was man tut.
And so we tend to
deshalb
okay Now this worked great. Last one. What'd you
das
guys
das
do?
Letzte Mal so wunderbar what? Funktioniert.
Oh, you know what it is? Oh, great.
Ach,
battery.
Es liegt an der Batterie.
Take a second for it to come back up with power.
So way shame, the shame belief comes out is
that it says, ergibt sich aus folgendem,
"Hi, I'm G. McConnell.
Ich bin G. McConnell.
I am a sex addict.
Ich bin ein Sexsüchtiger.
Hi, I'm G. McConnell.
Ich bin
G.
McConnell.
I am a drug addict.
Ich bin ein Drogenabhängiger.
I am G. McConnell. I am an alcoholic.
Ich bin Alkoholabhängiger.
Hi, I'm G. McConnell. I am a prostitute.
Ich bin Prostituierter.
Hi, I'm G. McConnell. I am a John.
Ich bin ein Junkie.
You hear what I'm doing?
Wissen Sie, was ich
I'm
mache?
Attaching my behavior to
ich
my
verbinde
identity.
Mein Verhalten mit meiner Identität.
You are not your behavior.
Also, das ist nicht das
you are not
Verhalten.
Your struggle.
Nicht der
you're Kamen. Not your mistakes.
Du bist nicht deine Fehler.
What we tend to do is
wir
think that somehow,
denken,
because they have a behavior and because they're making mistakes, that somehow
Fehler
we attach
machen,
it to their identity. And actually,
Identität
when shame is the driver to a behavior, and then we add more shame to it, we're actually burying them, not helping them. A better way of saying this is, hi, I'm G. McConnell, I struggle
nicht.
With sex addiction. Hi, I'm G. McConnell. I struggle with drug addiction.
Also, ich bin Gene McConnell. Ich bin sexsüchtig. Ich bin drogenabhängig.
You hear the difference?
Hören Sie den Unterschied heraus?
Because if
man kann
you believe
so sagen,
that is your identity,
glaubt,
you will
deine
live
Identität,
that out.
Dann lebst du das aus.
One of the key reasons why many people in the addiction
viele
world
Leute
don't get out is they sit in a circle for 12 years
weil sie seit
and maybe more, and they never get out of the cycle because they're all sitting around the room saying, hi, I'm G. McConnell,
sagen, ich bin
I'm a drug addict.
Ich bin
that's who they are. All they're going to do is modify their behavior.
Sie müssen, ich brauche
each
nur
week
mein
the same
Verhalten
story,
zu ändern, zu modifizieren. Das ist immer wieder dieselbe Geschichte.
The idea then is I'm not anti that.
Ist, ich bin nicht dagegen.
Just change the I am statement.
Man muss nur die ich bin
be honest
ändern.
About where you are.
Man muss ehrlich
but
sein,
it's not
wer du bist, aber das ist nicht deine Identität.
And when we do that,
wenn wir
when
das
we
tun,
say,
wenn wir sagen,
call somebody by their behavior jemand, as their identity, we're hurting them,
nenne jemanden
we're
nach der
pain, and we're
Identität,
not going to be moving towards
wird das nicht mehr Schmerz verursachen.
Objectifying
wir objektifizieren
we're reducing
diese Person
them to their
oder reduzieren ihn auf das Verhalten und nicht auf das, was er wirklich ist.
And if we're going to heal this,
und wenn wir das
we gotta
heilen
actually
wollen,
help people recover
wir,
their identity,
dann helfen wir der
stay
Person
in
zu genesen und nicht
here's
in diesem
picture.
Übel zu bleiben.
Most people don't
Bild.
Make
die meisten
changes
Leute
because they believe that
glauben nicht
life,
an das sich verändern. In ihrem Leben gibt es nichts mehr zu sehen als die Fehler, die Schockkämpfe,
so
die sie innerlich austragen. Und wenn wir tiefer hineinblicken, sehen wir immer
because
wieder
we believe,
das Gleiche, denn wir glauben, das ist die,
we believe that's
das ist
all
die Scham. Wir glauben
but the reality is, the mistakes,
etwas anderes. Wir glauben, dass die Mängel, die Sucht, der Schaden, den ich verursache, nicht meine Identität ist. Es sind die Trümmer, es ist der Schaden, den ich angerichtet habe. Aber darunter liegt die eigentliche Identität. Und Teil des Heilens liegt darin, das aufzuräumen, zu reinigen und die Trümmer zu beseitigen, sodass man sehen kann, wer man eigentlich wirklich ist.
And you're not, you're shame.
Und man braucht nicht sich zu schämen.
The number one barrier
die Hauptbarriere bei der Veränderung ist der Glaube daran, dass man der eigene Fehler ist.
So, a proverb says, as a man believes in his heart,
sagt,
so is he.
Now, this is so wie ein Mann an sein Herz glaubt, so ist er. Das zeigt also den Unterschied zwischen dem Intellekt, den Glauben im Intellekt und der Glauben im Herzen. Das Herz hat etwas mit Erfahrung zu tun, hat mit Beziehungen zu tun. Herz hat zu tun mit
feelings and emotions.
Und Emotionen.
And so a better way of saying it is, what has your heart taught you about sex? What has your heart taught you about men?
Über Sex, über Männer? What has your heart taught you was hat dein Herz dir gesagt über Frauen und über das Leben und über Eltern und Beziehungen?
About trust.
Über Vertrauen. Das Herz hat erfahren, woran man wirklich glaubt. Und das ist ein einfaches Beispiel.
As we go up to the buffet up here.
Wenn man hier draußen zum Buffet schreitet und ich sage, also ich kann keine Süßigkeiten mehr essen. Ich weiß, ich will ja abnehmen, ich kann das nicht, das ist nicht das Richtige. Ich weiß es also. Und gehe trotzdem hin und sehe all diese schönen Desserts da.
What wins?
Was gewinnt? Wer hat die Überhand? Also das meiste ist das meistens ist es das Herz.
You don't care what the mind's
man
thinking in the moment.
Nicht,
they don't get along.
Also man.
But the idea is that there's a big difference
between
your intellect and your heart.
Unterschied gibt zwischen dem Intellekt und
but
dem Herz.
But when you're talking about heart,
is big because
what you experience in life teaches you things.
Während man im Leben etwas erfährt,
so it teaches you to believe things about yourself that may or may not be true. If it's shame.
Wenn es Schande ist, ist sie
shame is a
nicht wahr.
Shame sabotages your identity. Shame assassinates your
identity.
Shame belittles you. It hurts you.
It's not helpful.
So, but when we experience shame, we hide.
Fügt der
so,
Schmerz put it this way. Also wir verbergen dies.
Most people don't let themselves be
lassen,
truly seen. There's places of our life we hide.
Nicht wirklich sehen. Wir verstecken, wir verbergen Dinge.
For a lot of reasons.
Aus vielen Gründen. Also, dass man Angst hat, weil man gefeuert wird oder Dinge, die nicht angemessen sind für einen Job oder vielleicht gefährdet man seine Ehe, wenn man Dinge herausträgt oder nicht mehr respektiert wird in der Gemeinschaft, weil man Dinge tut, die man nicht respektieren würde. Also wir verstecken Dinge. Und wenn wir sie verbergen, dann haben wir Scham.
Why would you hide,
warum versteckt man Dinge, wenn man über sich sprechen will? Warum versteckt man Dinge, wenn man weiß,
so
wie gut man ist? Die Identität
also
ist etwas, die wir
so
nicht zeigen wollen. Es gibt zwei Ebenen
one
des Scham.
The things that have happened to me.
Erstens Dinge,
how
die mir geschehen sind, wie die Scham in
so
mir eingepflanzt worden
happened,
ist. Dinge, die passiert worden sind, die Beziehungen, die Scham verursacht haben.
That I'm no good, that I don't matter, that
Dinge,
I, that
die
I'm
mir gesagt haben, dass ich nicht gut bin, dass ich nicht wichtig
words.
Bin.
So shame gets planted.
Scham wird also
and the principle is
eingepflanzt.
What you plant in life
was
is what you
eingepflanzt hat im Leben
so if you got seeds
man,
of shame being planted from a toxic relationship,
aus einer toxischen Beziehung,
then the seeds of shame will produce what? Fruits of shame.
Was produzieren? Die Früchte der Scham.
Seeds are the ideas.
The
ideas that says
Ideen,
I'm no good. I'll get
sagen,
into more of the shame
gut,
messages in a moment.
And what they actually are.
But it's the idea, it's the thought,
Idee,
it's
the
belief,
Gedanke,
it's a
Glaube,
seed. And when it gets planted,
Saat,
and over time it grows.
Wird,
and when it grows,
Zeit,
it produces the fruit that are toxic and healthy. But is that seed you?
Aber wenn diese Saat no. Du bist, nein. Nein, das bist nicht du.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Wissen Sie, was ich meine?
That those seeds of shame
diese
got planted.
Der Scham,
they're
Scham,
not
wenn sie ausgebracht
you.
Wird, das bist nicht du.
Oh, and the other thing is the things that I've done. So it's not only have I experienced change, but now I'm doing things, choices that I'm making,
dann habe ich eine Auswahl,
that I'm hurting
die ich treffen kann
my addiction,
und Menschen schädigen kann.
Wife,
meine Sucht, wie hat das eine Auswirkung auf meine Kinder und meine Frau, meine Arbeit oder auf meine Gemeinde als Pfarrer. Diese Scham, die ich fühle, die ich in mir habe, verdoppelt sich. Denn wenn ich jemanden schädige, mache ich genau das, was ich hasse und was mir angetan wurde. Und ich denke, dass ich dann mehr Schaden verursache und ein Trauma habe. Es wird hier eine ganz andere Ebene von Scham erzeugt. Was passiert ist, dass wir dem Scham nicht ins Auge sehen und wir bleiben ein Opfer dessen. Jeder hat mich geschädigt. Niemand mag mich. Die Schuld meines Chefs, meiner Frau, meiner Kinder, meiner Freunde, die Schuld meiner Kirche. Jeder ist schuld, außer du.
You know anybody like that? Yeah. They're still stuck
also,
in what happened.
Man ist
and they haven't made the shift to be an adult and face what they have done to others.
Man muss eine
part of the healing is to face not only the shame that's been planted,
Scham,
but face how implanted worden
everybody
ist
in this room.
Jeder hier in diesem
Raum.
You have been hurt and you have hurt people, hurt people.
Schaden oder hat Schmerzen empfunden.
So, shall we stop?
Sollen wir da aufhören?
All right, so let's dig in.
Also,
so that's my real self.
Eher beginnen wir. Also,
that's who I really am when no one else is looking. It's my fears, it's my struggles, it's my
betrachten,
pain,
ist es in meine Schmerzen, meine
the things
Kämpfe,
that I'm carrying
meine inneren
inside, the beliefs
Kämpfe,
I'm carrying,
die ich habe, meine
that I desire for, my greatest need is for me to be known at that level,
bekannt,
at the real level,
zu sein auf dem tatsächlichen Niveau.
And so the greatest need is intimacy, as
also,
I said earlier, that you see
größter
my
Wunsch,
struggles,
dass
you see the real me,
Kampf seht,
and you love me and accept me. That is our primary need, both men and women. It's not
men
or women only thing.
Nicht nur für Frauen, zu auch für Männer.
So the idea then is,
die Idee ist also, es ist die Intimität, die
and
ich anstrebe.
What I'm afraid of, though, is, that
wovor ich Angst
strong
habe,
as I have that need,
obwohl ich dieses starke Bedürfnis habe, habe ich Angst, dass ich
so the strong need to be known,
also
but the strong fear of
sein,
what will happen to me
dafür bekannt zu sein.
And for many
und
of us, when we've experienced pain
uns,
and hurt, the fear
overrides
our need,
and we put up our walls.
Und aus
dem
now, the
walls
are
wir eine
our
Wand
performance.
Um uns
it's what we do to protect
das
ourselves.
Wir, um uns
it's what
schützen.
We do to keep from being
das
hurt again.
Wir, damit wir nicht
something like this, I will never let another
werden.
Man hurt me.
Ich werde
I will never
nicht
let another woman
erlauben,
reject
eine Frau
I will never let you
mich,
hear I'm putting walls up to protect myself, but the walls actually close out any good. Nothing good comes in, nothing good goes out.
Schließen auch aus, dass etwas Gutes in mich hereinkommen kann.
So no one really knows
also niemand
me
kennt mich nicht mehr. Meine Mauern
my
sabotieren
need.
Jetzt meine größten Bedürfnisse.
So what the walls are meant to do is protect
was sollen
me,
die Mauern? Sie sollen mich schützen, aber eigentlich zerstören sie mich in meinem eigenen Gefängnis.
What is my greatest need?
Was
my greatest need is to be known.
Stärksten Bedürfnisse,
what am I doing with the walls? I'm actually
sein.
Stopping
was
that
mache ich mit diesen Mauern? Ich verhindere es damit.
So I'm killing the very
also,
thing I need.
Ich zerstöre das, was ich eigentlich brauche.
And what happens?
Was passiert?
Is I am lonely.
Ich bin einsam.
Have tons of people around me.
Viele
tons
Menschen
of
gibt
friends.
Es um mich herum.
People who
Freunde,
say I'm great. They love what I do. They love that you're professional,
machst,
you're strong, you're articulate.
Beruf, stark,
they can
give,
pat me on the back and say how great I am.
But
when they're patting me on the
aber
back, I'm
wenn
going,
sie dann
yeah,
auf deine Schulter dir klopfen, gehen sie.
If you knew where my struggle was, what
wenn
I did last
du
night,
wüsstest, was meine Kämpfe sind, meine Ängste, die ich habe, meine Träume, dann würdest du mich nicht mehr auf die Schulter klopfen. Und das ist diese Angst, die mich in dieser Einsamkeit belässt. Und Einsamkeit ist die erste Triebkraft für solche Sexkämpfe.
Why? We've already sabotaged getting our needs met. Let me kind of put it this way. Okay, everybody knows you have to breathe. That's a need, right? Anybody think you can go without breathing? Well, you might go for 3 to 5 minutes. But when you actually hold your breath, you are cutting off the need, and then you go for a season, 3 to 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden you go, and you gasp for air, right? Well, that's the thing with an addiction or with a struggle is that you may be trying to go to that to get that need met. And so you want to stop it because it's destructive and it's hurting you, and it's the only way you know to go to. So you're going to get your needs met. You know that's not working. So then you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. So you hold your breath. So it means you're not doing it anymore. But underneath all that is a real need. All you're doing is holding your breath. And it's only a matter of time. You have to breathe. And when you breathe, what do? I gasp. I take in more air. So that looks like, oh my gosh, I just blew all the boundaries. I literally went past what I normally have done in the past. I literally splurged. I literally blew past the boundaries I said I would never do. I have blown because I'm not really getting to the real needs being met. The only path for health, relational for life, is relational health. That's the only thing that brings life. It's the only thing that brings fulfillment. I have to learn how to let people into my world. And when I don't do that, that sets up the addiction. That sets up me using people. Because if I make people an object, I can use them without ever having to risk my heart. I never have to open myself up. I never have to let another person in. Many women that are in a dancing world, in the stripping, that have come through our services and to come through our work and their healing, have said that they've been on the stage, and it's for the first time in their life, they got sexually abused and used most of their life, but now they're in full control. The men are looking at them, they're wanting them, but they can tell them no. So they think they're getting their needs met, but they're keeping them at a distance. But the reality is they're doing the same thing as they're doing this. And the guys are doing the same thing. They're not letting people in to know what's really going on. And we're going to the clubs and we're buying sex and we're actually desperate for love and we're buying it. We're using women because we're making them objects. And there we are getting our needs met without ever having to risk. So we think we're helping ourselves. We're actually hurting ourselves because none of that stuff is our needs. What is our need? To be known. That woman's never going to come off that page and hug me. That woman's never going to come off that computer and be in my life and cry with me and struggle with me as I hurt. It's false intimacy. It's an illusion of intimacy. But it is not real. It touches the thirst, the longing for intimacy. Because when you take your clothes off, there's nothing hidden. But I can have sex with someone and not know them. So that isn't intimacy. No matter how great that sexual experience is in the moment, no matter how great an orgasm comes from that experience, it doesn't fill the need. You still walk away empty. Why? Because that person isn't in your life. They don't know you. You don't know them. Healthy sex is that two people know each other fully. No hiddenness, no secrets. That I can look into her eyes and know her fully. And she looks into mine and knows me fully. Weaknesses and all. Fears, struggles, all the mistakes and my strengths. She sees me as I am. And I see her as she is. And the celebration of, oh my gosh, this person fully knows me and loves me. That is so awesome that then sex becomes the outflow of intimacy. It is not intimacy. It's got nothing to do with intimacy. Sex is not intimacy. That is a lie. Intimacy is relational. Sex is an outflow of intimacy. It's a celebration of the connection. And the power of that sexual experience comes when there is the most amazing connection. So where we are as a culture, we've seen everything you can see. Every position, every possible thing you could do sexually, and people have done those things, and they're still empty, and they're still not fulfilled. Why? Because they're doing it as an empty soul. They have a soulless connection. There's no intimacy. It's just a sexual experience. The truth is, the reason why relationships don't work sexually over time is because they have nothing to celebrate. Ouch. So, what is the need? Is that we need to build intimacy. We need to build connection and depth. I said that before. I won't go there. Five shame messages that a child needs to know and should not ever taste is, you know, we say that you're not good is shame, you're not good enough, you don't belong, you're not lovable, and you should not exist. Those are things that actually destroy a child's sense of worth and value, and it actually sets the tone for shame to grow and become strong in them. When I get to the shame list, I'm going to come to this one. It's the same thing, but the red is my own shame list, and I want to kind of poke into this. Shame messages are that mine are, I am dirty, soiled, unclean, impure, filthy, disgusting. And the other one is, I am unwanted, unloved, appreciated, unappreciated, and uncherished. And the third one is, I am weak, small, impotent, and puny. Now, the thing is that people would go, how in the world, they look at me and they go, there's no way that could be true. But they don't know what's on the inside. How I'm showing up here may not be the same as what's going on the inside. And my beliefs that I carry inside come, remember, my experiences. So what I want to do is I want to look at where did my shame come from? And normally what we see is there's tons of ways. There's five different aspects of how shame comes. We're only going to talk about the one because we don't have time. It usually takes 2 weeks to build all this. But this is a whole family that shame. Number one thing is where shame comes from is family and toxic family relationships. And so what happens then is that in the family growing up, can I just talk about mine for a moment? That is my great-grandma and my mom, and my great-grandfather on the right side, and my mom is a little girl. And they're near Norwegian. And my grandma and my grandpa on my mom's side, Norwegian. My grandpa and my grandma on my dad's side, my grandpa is Irish and full oaky. The overalls never took him off. He rolled his own cigarettes, and my grandma was a Choctaw, half Choctaw native. And my grandpa hated being in a suit on the left side. You can see he always wore overalls, so he didn't like it. But my mom and dad got married. My mom was 15. My dad was 19. So that's my mom and dad as they got married. And when you think about that, and when I was 16, when she was 16, she had me at 16. So that is, when I think about a 16-year-old having a child, it really explains some of the pain that I carry from my relationship with my mom, because she didn't even know how to be a mom. And so there's a lot of stuff I'm not going to go into there with mom, but I want to say that my dad was one of those guys that was this Mr. Personality, and everybody loved him, everybody liked him, everybody thought he was amazing, and he was. He's talented, gifted, kind. He'd give you his last dime. And so I always loved who he was, but I never got to see him. The only time I ever saw him, he was a roofer by day, and he was a pastor by night. So that meant that I never saw him. And when the phone would ring at the dinner table, he'd get up and go. And never in any way, shape, or form did I have him in my world. Everybody else got him, but I did not. And inside, what I longed for, what I wanted, was to be like my dad. I wanted to have my dad there. I wanted to be strong like my dad. I wanted him to be a part of my life. I wanted to have my father's heart and the way my father cared for people, the way he gave his life for them. And I wanted that very thing for me. I longed for it, but never got it. And play baseball. My dad never, ever played catch with me or taught me how to hit the bat or came to my ball games. But everybody else's kids got their dads there. And my heart starved for this attention from my dad. And even in terms of conflict, I never remember my dad ever sitting down and helping me think through a problem or actually working through homework. It was my dad wasn't not in my life, and I was starving for his love. I was starving for his attention. I was hungry. But the problem with it is that at six, and I already shared this once, but I'm going to hit it just a little bit deeper. At six, I was starving. I was hungry. I wanted someone to say that I mattered. This babysitter comes along, and she says, boy, you're handsome. I really like you. You're really special. And over a period of 3 to 4 months of that, I stayed at her house one night because my parents were in a revival meeting. And when I stayed in her house, she molested me. The hard part on that is that she gave me touch, she gave me hugs, she said I was special, I felt loved, I felt wanted, slash, I felt dirty, soiled, damaged, felt like I was damaged goods, that I was no, that I wasn't, and I didn't like how I saw myself, I felt so broken. What I couldn't figure out is why did my body respond to this? If this is so evil and so wrong and so bad that nobody's even talking about this stuff, if it's so evil, then why did my body respond to this? Here's my shame message. I am so dirty and so evil that even my body responds to this. This must be me. If I carry that message and into adulthood, what do you think is going to be lived out in me? Doesn't take much of a rocket scientist to figure that out. So this boy here was brought into our home, and his parents were going through a divorce, and he was going through a struggle as a couple, and they were in leaders, and there was all kinds of garbage going on with his mom and dad and fighting. So he started getting into alcohol and started getting into gang stuff. And so my parents decided to bring him into our home. Now, he was 6 years older than me. And that during that season of time that he was going playing ball with me, taught me how to hit the ball even better. Yeah, we rode bikes together, we skateboarded together, he beat up my bullies. He was the guy that I was looking for in a dad. Well, when he moved into my home, he stayed in my bed, and he molested me more times than I can count. Now, I don't even know how to put words to this. How do I talk about this? And guess what? Why am I not telling anybody? Am I such a needy little boy that I am weak, that I can't speak up, that I can't fight for me? Why didn't I report it? Why am I such a needy boy that I would take this crap to get love? That happened more times than I can count, and the shame and the thing again is my body responding to the touch and not knowing how to even talk about this. Is this being who I am? And so there is a lot of struggle internally. I have two more stories to share, and then we flip and shift. There's third grade, and third grade was... My aunt came over to the house, and my aunt was everything that my father and mother didn't like. So they didn't like us around her very often. And so she came over to the house, and I think she smoked, drank, chewed, you know, I think she did everything and ran with those who do kind of thing. So she was one of those people that was in a lot of trouble all the time. And so she came over to the house one day, and she had this fur coat on. She's smoking a cigarette with one of those sticks, you know, you put the cigarette on, and she had high heels. She looked like she was happening. And so she came over to the house, and she hung up the coat, and I thought, I wonder what it's like to have a fur coat. So I snuck into the closet, closed the door, and there's a mirror on that door, right? And I turned the light on, put the fur coat on, and I'm looking in the mirror, looking pretty good, it's cool. And all of a sudden, this pack of cigarettes falls out. And so I pick up the cigarettes, and now I'm still in the closet. I light the cigarette, and I'm puffing away. And all of a sudden, I smell something different than the cigarette. And I look down, and there's a hole burning right here. And I realized I'm in trouble. And so I quickly put the cigarette out, I fanned the smoke out, and hung up the coat, and ran outside. In all the years I've known my father, it was the worst anger I've ever seen him be in. His face was beet red, his veins were popping out of his neck, and he was yelling at the top of his lungs. And he says, you get in the car now. And so I get in the car, and we're driving down the road. It's at night. I have no idea where we're at. And he stops the car and he says, get out. Now, I don't want to get out because I don't want to get a spanking in the street. I don't know where we're at. So I said, no. And he came over the back of that seat at me. And I quickly jump out of the car, and he got back in the front seat and drove away. And inside, I said to myself, I will never let another soul see my mistakes, ever, because they will walk away. You see, I had life experience that says you can't trust. So I was a wrestler in high school, and this is my junior year, and I took second in the district. That's me in the middle there, same height I am right now, but 148 pounds soaking wet. Now I'm running 260, 265. I don't know where it all went, or how I'm holding on to all that. No, I'm actually in the middle of trying to lose all this weight and get back to 140. No, I'm just kidding. But I was really good at what I did, and I had a lot of friends, and I did good in sports, and I did good in school and grades, and so after that district match, we were going to state, and so they did this big celebration, and so we're in the gym, and the gymnasium had the basketball court, and then they had all those portable bleachers, and we were all up in the bleachers. And the cheerleaders were down on the floor. And they said, we're going to pick two names, and then we're going to have you come down, and we're going to blindfold you, and we're going to want you to guess which cheerleader is kissing you. And so my name gets pulled out of the hat, and I think, well, I'm like this kind of, this is cool. I like all the cheerleaders. They'd be fun. Love to do this. And so I come down. They blindfold me. And someone comes and lays this long, passionate kiss. Now, the problem with it is that in the entire world is laughing and stomping on the bleachers. I know something's wacky, but I don't know what. And so they asked me what I thought and if I liked it, who I thought it was. And I wouldn't answer any of that because I knew there was just going to add fuel to the fire. And so they take my blindfold off finally, and it was my mom. My mom passionately kissed me in front of my entire world. And inside, I said, I will never trust another woman. Ever. If my own mother would shame me in front of my entire life and she's supposed to love me, how could I trust another woman? What I didn't learn until in therapy, why it was so painful, well, first of all, I got in a lot of fights. Anybody that said, hey, how's it going in the gym, you know, in the locker room, they said, hey, how's it going with mom? Like suggesting there's some kind of sexual relationship with my mom. Or, you know, my grades went down. I got in fights. Got kicked out of school several times. Nobody really asked the questions why. But I was mad. I was pissed. I was mad. But what I found out in therapy later is that passionate kiss is sexual. And it was like being sexually abused in front of my entire world. And they all laughed about it. So it was painful. So the idea then is that in my own world, I moved into the prostitution and the massage parlors, and I went into the strip clubs and all of that as I was trying to hide all the way through my life. I was in and out of pornography and in and out of the clubs because I never let a soul in. I trusted no one. But on the outside, I was Mr. Happy. I would do anything for you. I was had a lot of personality and very gifted and involved in sports. I would look like I'm a Mr. Alive person, but on the inside, I was like a tomb. I was dead. I was hurting like crazy, and no one got in. My wife never knew me. Never. And so I would compensate by going to this stuff. And so I'm in pain, I'm hurting, and this guy right here was a guy, you know, let me back up. So I was in church, I was a pastor when all this was happening, and my entire world, when it came down and it came out in the open, I was arrested, and I was arrested for I had been arrested before for prostitution, purchasing women, for going and purchasing sex twice, two different times. And then I was arrested for attempted rape, and I went to prison for that. It never was completed. It was still an offense, and I have great, great pain, and I'll talk about that more in a moment. but I was what I was arrested for. And that was just a deal breaker for me. I realized that I had made so many mistakes. I'm no good. I'm lousy. Lock me up. Throw away the key. I am trash. And then the church, when it found out, they kicked me out. No one's to call me. No one's to get together with me. I'm never to come back. And so for a year, I went into this deep, deep, dark depression, suicidal, wanted to give up on life. And this guy gave me a call. And he'd been in my life in and out for kind of like a spiritual father. But he lives 3 hours away, so I really didn't get to see him. I just would talk to him on the phone. And yeah, he called me up and said, "Hey, can we hang? I haven't heard from you in a year. Well, how are you?" And I said, "I'm doing great. No, I can't come." And I didn't want to have my last friend in the world throw me out the door. And he just kept talking to me and getting me to come. So finally, I came. And on the way there, 3 hours driving, I'm going, "I'll talk about the Dodgers. I'll talk about the weather. I'm not going about anything serious." And I sat down in his office, and I wouldn't enter more than a few minutes, and I just blew open. And I literally told everything that I've just, this, everything that had happened and done, I just got it all out. And it's like I just threw up. And he gets up from behind his desk, and he's walking towards me. And I stand up with my fist clenched, because I'm not going to take one more guy screwing up my life, and I was ready to deck him. And he came up, and he just gives me this wrestler's hug, just like this. And he's not letting go. And I don't even know how. I don't even know how to respond to that. And he began to literally weep, and he says, "I'm so sorry that you've never known that you are a valuable person, that your Creator loves you, and that I'm here to walk this out with you. And you can get through this." You know, I was 29 years old. I never tasted anything like that, ever. And what I didn't know was what he gave me. But whatever he gave me, it put some hope. It put something inside of me that made me come alive. And for the first time in my life, I tasted what I was just talking about. That as we come into the light and we let people in, we break the isolation, and we begin to taste authentic relationships, the way relationships are meant to be, people who know you and love you. And it's in that that I began the journey of breaking objectification, because real relationships can't handle both. And so I'm going to kind of dig in just a couple things before we wrap up. So, a couple years after I had made movement to get some help and start getting therapy and start going to groups and start getting some healing, and I had some sobriety under my belt for quite a while, and I had a relapse, and I walked right back into a strip club, and that was 30 some years ago. That was the last time I ever went in. But when I walked in that club, I sat down and I put money on the table as the woman was dancing. And for the first time that I've never done this ever, in all the years I had been involved in it, I looked up in her eyes and she was dead. She wasn't there. She's dancing, but she wasn't there. She's dead inside. And it was like somebody had just slapped me across the face and said, "Hello, Jean. You're contributing to the death of another human being. She can't even be here." And I got up. I walked out the door, got in my car, and I have never cried so hard in my life as I drove home. It was about 2 weeks later. My daughter and I had been having a lot of struggle because she's in and out of therapy, like I talked about. She'd been trying to kill herself, and there's been a lot of damage that I had caused her and everything. And so she was mad at me, and she was doing everything opposite that I was telling her. And so she was dating guys that were twice her age, and she was sneaking out. And one night, this 29-year-old asked her out, and I told her that she couldn't go, and she snuck out the window. And so She came home about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was sitting there waiting. And when she came through the door, her eyes was bruised, her mouth was bleeding, and her clothes were torn, and she's crying. And I said, well, what happened? She says, Daddy, he just raped me. There are no words to express the rage and the anger that I had that this man raped my daughter. Doesn't he know that she's valuable to me? Doesn't he know that she is my daughter? How dare him? And man, I just literally, within a snap of a finger, I was off that couch. I ran through the front door, and he's backing out of my driveway. And he got away. But if I'd have caught him, I probably would not be here today. I'd probably be in prison. I was so mad. And I sat down with my daughter, and she's crying, and hearing how much pain she was in. And I'm thinking, how could he do this? And I was just furious. And there was this gentle voice that I heard from the back of me. And it just simply said, son, you've been doing that to my daughters for years. Every one of those women have a name. Every one of those women are someone's daughter. Every one of those women are someone's sister or mom. Every one of those women are human. They have dignity. And do you know, that sounds crazy? It sounds so stupid.
Klingt sehr verrückt und dumm.
I can't believe I was in that place.
Ich kann nicht glauben, dass ich in einer solchen Lage war. Aber zum ersten Mal sah ich einen Menschen.
Not somebody that I could get something from.
Nicht jemand, von dem ich etwas wollte. Und
I was in therapy at the time, and it was in a small group. And the therapist brought in 3 women that had come out of the sex world.
And
as each one of them shared their story,
von ihnen hatte diese Geschichte,
it just broke me in pieces.
Geteilt. I didn't realize das hatte mich regelrecht zerbrochen. Ich erkannte, dass ihre eigenen Kindheitserfahrungen, ihre sexuellen Missbrauchserfahrungen gehört habe, die Geschichte zu hören von den Vätern, von den Pfarrern und von den Männern, die sie trauten und den Männern, die sie benutzten und sie weggeworfen hatten, diese Geschichten zu hören und dann sagen, das hätte meine Tochter sein, meine Schwester könnte das sein.
And I just broke.
Und dann brach ich zusammen.
It's been a journey of understanding.
Es war eine Reise des Verstehens,
how I've harmed.
Und zu verstehen, wie viel Schaden ich angerichtet habe. Aber auch gelernt zu haben, die Fehler einzustehen und anfangen, die Wunden heilen zu lassen, Menschen zu helfen. Also eine Sache steht fest, wenn man Menschen hilft, aus diesem Kreislauf auszubrechen, und man nicht die Scham bekämpft, dass man ihnen sagt, du bist nicht der Fehler, und dass jeder Einzelne, der willens ist, Veränderungen zu erreichen, auch Veränderungen erreichen kann. Diese Möglichkeit der Hoffnung gibt es. Wie würde es aussehen, anzusehen, diesen Übergang von einem Täter, ein Heiler zu werden?
What would that look like? Good questions.
Das sind große Fragen.
But we're done.
Ich wünschte, wir hätten mehr Zeit, aber wir sind durch. Vielen Dank.